Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. The elders and the chief priests, the Sanhedrin, take counsel together to put Jesus to death. In other words, they were saying, how are we going to kill Jesus? We have to figure that out. How are we going to kill him? And they had a problem because Rome, the Roman Empire, was in charge. And Rome would not allow them to execute someone who was guilty of the religious crime of blasphemy. The religious rulers have to convince the Roman governor that Jesus had done something that Rome considers a capital crime. 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor in charge of Jerusalem and that area. Pontius Pilate hated the Jews, and the Jews hated Pontius Pilate, so I guess they were even. But in spite of how much they hated Pilate, the Jewish rulers had to go to him and had to convince him that Jesus should be executed. They had to go through Pilate. 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders. Judas is taken off guard by what is going to be the execution of Christ. See, Judas knew the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was surprised that Jesus allowed himself to be arrested and then condemned to death. Judas, over the last 3 years, has seen Jesus get out of some jams because of his great power. And people had tried to arrest him in the past, but Jesus just, you know, slipped away from them without any problem. Excuse me. So I suppose he thought the same thing was going to happen. Judas figured he had the perfect plan. He would sell Christ out, get his silver, and Christ would not be arrested because he wouldn't allow it to happen. So he thought it was the perfect plan. But it backfired. So look at verse 3 again. It says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. He changed his mind. And he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. He was remorseful. He felt rotten. But he did not repent in the sense of repenting and being saved. A person can feel bad about their sin, horrible guilt, until they die and go straight to hell. Repentance that leads to salvation, that is being sorry for sin, and also turning to Christ for forgiveness, and also changing one's ways. And Judas didn't do that. Repentance includes turning to Christ for forgiveness, and he didn't do that. Judas felt bad, but it isn't enough for a sinner to feel bad. He returned the silver, but he didn't turn to Christ. 4. Well, let's read 3 along with it. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. No words ever spoken by man have ever been more depraved and hellish than those spoken by the religious rulers right here. You think about their words to Judas. Judas comes back filled with sorrow. Their response, we don't care if Jesus is guilty or innocent. We don't care. And we don't care how guilty you may feel, Judas, about selling him out. We don't care. We have Jesus in custody, and that's all that matters. We're going to see that he dies, and that's all that matters. Now get out of here and go confess your guilt to someone else. Those are the religious leaders. Those are the spiritual leaders. With religious leaders like this, you don't need a devil. 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And that was the end of Judas. Death and hell. Satan loves to whisper, go ahead. Sin. No one will catch you. Go ahead, sin. No one will find out. And he may be right. With the exception of God in you, no one else may find out. But you will know that you have sinned. And you will live with the guilt over that sin. Satan doesn't tell the sinner that. And guilt is a real thing. It isn't just a psychological problem. It is a spiritual consequence of disobeying your Creator. So yes, maybe no one else will know. But you will know. And you will live with the guilt and with the pressure that comes from it. And sometimes, as was the case with Judas, the guilt is so strong that people can't handle it and they kill themselves. And that's what Satan hopes will happen. Judas left this world without Jesus Christ. Like Jesus said, he went to his own place. And it was better. It would have been better if he had never been born. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood. The price of blood or blood money simply means that those 30 pieces of silver, it was money received for committing a crime. And they were right about God not wanting that kind of money for an offering. I mean, if you're going to go slicker somebody out of $100, don't tithe it to God. Don't give your 10% out of that. If you're going to rob a bank and you get $10,000, don't tithe it by giving God $1,000. So they were right. It was blood money. But isn't it amazing how they conveniently overlooked the fact that they were the ones that paid Judas that blood money in the first place? Oh, we can't use that money. It's tainted. Well, why is it tainted? Because you're the one who gave it to Judas to sell out an innocent man. They overlooked that. Isn't that amazing? Their sinful souls have warped their minds. They lost whatever common sense and logic that they had. That's what sin will do to a person. It destroys the mind. 7. And they took counsel and brought with them and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. So the money that Judas returned was used to buy a cemetery for the strangers, for the poor and the strangers. Judas was a greedy man who didn't care about God or the poor. We know that from what the Bible says. He didn't care about the poor. So God took his money and used it on behalf of the poor. Judas chose wealth over God. And in the end, he lost everything, including his wealth. Verse 8. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. It was called the field of blood because the people found out that the money used to buy that field was obtained through treachery and murder. The people found out. That's why they labeled it the field of blood. The priests maybe were hoping for some accolations for being so generous in buying a field that could be used for a cemetery for strangers. But the priests got no pat on the back for buying this field. because the people found out. And it became a memorial of their hideous sin of killing the Son of God. 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me." It says, then was fulfilled. Even buying this field and using it for a cemetery, that was predicted in the Old Testament. The Bible in the Old Testament predicted that the money given to betray the Lord would be used to buy this field. And it happened. And notice the last part of verse 10. Notice what it says there. It says, as the Lord appointed me. As the Lord appointed me, or as the Lord directed me. The rulers did their evil of their own free will. They chose to do it. They chose to be jealous. They chose to have Jesus murdered. Judas did his evil of his own free will. And yet, in some mysterious way, God's sovereignty was undergirding it all. And that's why it came to pass. You can be sure that every prophecy of God's written word will come to pass because God, working behind the scenes, in conjunction with man's free will, is in control of history. 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." Jesus could not lie, and he would not lie. So he says, "Yes, I'm the king of the Jews." They didn't want Jesus. Doesn't matter. He's still the king of the Jews. People today don't want Jesus to be their Lord. They don't want him to be their judge, but Jesus is still their Lord, and he's still their judge. What I want or what you want doesn't matter. It really doesn't. The only thing that matters is what is real. And what's real is what the Bible says is real. And I don't care who doesn't like it. And I don't care how many people don't like it. Don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change what God says is true. We can take it or leave it, but God won't change it. 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Jesus would not answer his accusers because they knew that they were lying, and he knew that they were lying. So why answer their lies? Why play the game? We saw this last time. He wouldn't play the game. Do not dignify the words of a liar by responding to them. You cannot change a liar's mind by correcting them. Because if they were interested in truth, they wouldn't be lying in the first place. Responding just gives their words a measure of credibility that they don't deserve. Sometimes there's a time to be quiet. 13. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" Pilate never saw anyone like Jesus. And Pilate can't figure Jesus out. He is baffled by Jesus' lack of response. God baffles a lot of people today because he doesn't do what they figure he should do. They are baffled because God doesn't give them something that they've been praying for. Or they are baffled because something bad happens and God didn't prevent it. Well, something bad was happening right here to God's Son. And neither he nor the Father were preventing it. I guess we shouldn't feel bad when something bad happens to us. We shouldn't be puzzled why God didn't prevent it. Well, he didn't prevent this. God wouldn't prevent it because he would use it to bring about a greater good. When God doesn't remove bad, it is because he is using it to bring about a greater good. 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would, once a year, in an attempt to get on the good side of the Jews. Pilate would pardon one of their criminals. And it's that time of year again. 16. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas, a notable prisoner, a notorious, an infamous prisoner called Barabbas. Barabbas was widely known and widely disliked. And that's probably why Pilate will let the people choose between him and Jesus. See, Pilate knows that Jesus is innocent and wants him released. So he'll put Christ up against someone he knows the people can't stand. For sure, Pilate figures, the people will want Jesus released, no doubt. 17, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate is convinced that the people will not want Jesus to be released. So when he gives the people this choice between Jesus or Barabbas, to him it's just a formality. Hands down, the people are definitely going to want Jesus released because they can't stand Barabbas. And he's a horrible guy. And then verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate saw right through what was going on here. He knew that religious leaders hated Jesus because they envied him. They were being bad to Jesus. They were being bad to God because they wanted what he had. We're going to kill you, Jesus, because the people like you more than they like us. We're going to put you out of business, Jesus, because the people would rather serve you than serve us. They were jealous of what belonged to God. They wanted what belonged to God. Sounds a lot like Lucifer. We are not in this world to get people to serve us. We are not in this world. Christians need to wake up to this. We are not in this world to get people to do what we want. We are here to declare what Almighty God wants and to tell people to do what God wants, even if we lose friends, family, and wealth in the process of telling them. Even if we lose friends, family, and wealth because we speak the truth. So be it. So be it. If we must suffer the loss of all things because we say God must be followed, and we promote Jesus Christ, well then so be it. May God be blessed. May Jesus increase while we decrease, if that's the case. I leave you there. We pick it up in verse 19 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.